focused on lessons we can glean from a certain Old Testament character in history, and that would be King Uzziah. Not many people are probably familiar with King Uzziah, maybe the particulars of his life. It's not easy once you get past Saul, David, and then Solomon. And then we start to kind of maybe lose track of some of the names. And then the kingdom was split, you know, with Solomon's son Rehoboam, and Israel to the north had 10 tribes, and you had Judah and Benjamin to the south. So they had different kings running simultaneously through a lot of that Old Testament history. But have you ever thought to yourself, how can I learn things? Well, you know, we can go to books, and we do. We're back to school now in September here, and a lot of us either are in school or went to school, and however many years you did, you can remember that there's a lot of things to gain from books. And we look at the Bible, we can understand a whole lot. And in this particular instance today, our study is going to be focused on lessons from a person's life. The King Uzziah, a couple things happened with him that if we can learn from those, we'll just be better off. Now, I remember when I was back in college, I remember a particular, I think it was a psychology class or a philosophy class, and we had a topic that we had to pick and write about. We had to do a long essay, and it was the question, what is wisdom? That was pretty interesting. What is wisdom? And it was a regular public college, so there was no religious emphasis to it at all. And I remember what I wrote was, I had to pick like a thesis or a theme phrase or sentence. And mine was, wisdom is someone who learns from the mistakes of others and then doesn't repeat them himself. So why would that be wisdom? Well, back then in college, I thought that was, so I wouldn't repeat them so I can be better off. For instance, let's take an easy one. If someone smokes their whole life, and let's say it's your grandfather in your family, and he dies of lung cancer, it's a very difficult death at the end of his life as he suffers with emphysema and the lung cancer, and he finally dies. You might learn from that, and you say, well, I'm not going to smoke then. And you'll avoid the consequence of lung cancer, most likely. So you see the benefit of learning from others' mistakes and not repeating them yourself. But how many of us do that? Don't so many of us have to learn through the school of hard knocks, as they call it? We have to do it ourselves, and we learn, finally, okay, my mom and dad were right the whole time. But I learned the hard way. I had to do it myself. But the problem with that way of learning is that I suffer consequences because of that, just like someone else. Why go through all that? We're living in a superior vantage point in history today. We can look back on what others have done that's been wrong and those things that have worked and have been good. Hence the reason to take a particular look and emphasis this morning on King Uzziah, because there are a lot of good things in this king's life, wonderful things that happened in his life. And yet there was a couple things that messed it up, and if very salient lessons, I believe, for people, us here today, to learn. So let's take a peek at a little piece of his life in 2 Chronicles 26. And I am going to read the first 15 verses of the chapter. So let's pick up in verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabne and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened exceedingly, Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. And if anybody doesn't know what that word means, husbandry means farming. Let's continue in verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Let's close and end our reading right there. So far, it sounds like I've read wonderful things about Uzziah, have I not? And 52 years, that's a long reign for a king or a president, and that's a long, long time. But he started young at age 16. But there are some very specific verses here, and here's what the lesson we want to learn, because my whole point today is that there are lessons to be gleaned from King Uzziah's life that can help you and me when I go back into the world tomorrow or when I go back home this afternoon. I can immediately begin to apply them. And here's what we're going to pick up. Some particular verses that teach us a huge lesson here. It's an elementary lesson, but it's a strong one because it applies throughout the human race. I think whether you're in the Lord, you're strong, you're a faithful believer, or whether you're someone who's not even saved, there's incredible lessons here to apply to both. Let's start in verse 5. The Bible says here, as we read earlier, in this about Uzziah, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. What's the simple lesson there? It's a pretty easy one. If you do A, B will result. What's the A? He put God first. As long as he sought the Lord, what's seeking the Lord mean? Well, you hope to find him, but seeking him means you're studying about God. You're seeking after him through prayer. You're asking for mercy. You're asking for understanding. You're reading the Bible. You're studying the Bible. Because that's how you find out God. Are you going to find out more about God by a dream at night that you have? No, that's not how it's going to happen. We understand how things come today about knowledge about God. And it's through the Word. It's all here between the cover, the front and the back cover of your Bible. So here Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So what was the condition on that prospering? What was the condition? It was a conditional prosperity. It wasn't just going to happen all the time because he was a good-looking man or something. Why? What was the condition? It's right here in the verse. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He was only going to prosper as long as he sought the Lord and tried to walk in his ways. So you see that? It's a big one. It's a big point to gain from that. Because the issue is, as long as I am seeking the Lord, I'm following the Lord, I'm pursuing godliness through studying the Scriptures and trying to apply it to my life, there's going to be prosperity, not necessarily physically. It could be. It could be material prosperity. It may not be. But I'm certainly going to prosper spiritually. There's no doubt about that. You can be a man in jail or in a nursing home and be the happiest person in your neighborhood. You ever seen anybody in one of those two places, but yet they're joyful and happy? And you wonder to yourself, how can they be? Because they're prospering, at least emotionally, spiritually, one would expect or hope. You see, that's what it means here. Well, if I say we have to learn from the example of others, in this case, that's a positive takeaway. But the Bible says that a lot in the scriptures about as long as you do X, Y will result. As long as you prosper, as long as you follow the Lord, as long as you obey Him, you'll prosper. God gives that promise over and over again, even in Deuteronomy to the Israelites as a nation. But here Uzziah particularly, it talked about him. Unfortunately, does anybody know the story of Uzziah? Did this continue? Remember, he was 16, he took the throne, and then he reigned for 52 years. Paul? Yeah, Paul's right. Paul's talking about some of the egregious errors he made in, I'll call it protocol, that was set up through the law of Moses about who was supposed to do what in the temple of God. So, yeah, he didn't stay the course fully when he should have known better. So he didn't have 52 full years of just wonderful bliss. And it was because we see in the verse 5 here, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So let's see here. When you're strong and filled with good, let's say you have plenty to eat every day, you have lots of money, you have a good job, you have health, you have good looks physically, you have a fair countenance, as the Bible calls it. Everything's going for you. What is the common trap for human beings? What happens when you get like that? Pride. Pride can build in. What else comes of that? Pay attention, especially young people. Pay attention here. What happens? Once that pride begins to build, you think, boy, I'm so good looking. I'm so successful at work or school. I'm the top of my class. I get A's all the time. I'm the captain of my team, whatever it might be. I have an excellent talent in music or in some other hobby. Gary? Well, conceit follows pride, yeah, because I think, because conceit means that now I think I had something to do with it. And in many cases, part of it, well, I don't know, honor is maybe something that's bestowed upon you by others, but I think the real trap that when you're filled and you have plenty, what happens? You typically then not only have pride and you get conceited, it's easy to happen, but then you start to forget God. Yeah, forget God. Because then you think you're the one who's in charge of it. I work out 3-4 days, 5 days a week. That's why I'm so strong and pretty or handsome, whatever the case may be. I'm so smart at work. That's why I have nice things and I have a nice home. I have a nice wife or a nice husband. I have beautiful kids, whatever the case may be. I start to think that I'm the one in charge of it. Now, unfortunately, Uzziah had that happen to him. Because he was only 16 years old and all this great stuff was happening. And then guess what? The hardest thing when you're on the top of the mountain, whether it's in sports or in life, what happens? The hardest thing when you reach the top is to stay there. Because typically then, you're right, Jared, you start to go down. It's a lot easier to fall than it is to stay on top. How many people in professional, let's say, sports can stay at the top of their game for year after year after year, whether it's a team or an individual? It's not easy. It doesn't happen that often because pride sets in. Pride sets in. And a lot of times then you start to forget about what got you there, which was humility, trusting God, maybe hard work, and maybe you kind of give up on some of that. Well, what did the Bible say about Uzziah? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. What's some of the hard work he could have put in? Maybe he was seeking the Lord through the priests as they understood the Word of God, the Levites, the Word of God itself, reading it, studying it, asking for more and more lessons. Because Jehoshaphat was a great king who, remember, he told the priestly line to go throughout the whole land of Judah and teach the people the Word of God. Just keep teaching the Word of God. What an excellent mandate from a king. There's a king who had the right idea. Now, Uzziah, he was 16, and things are going great. God made all these beautiful things happen as we began to read in 2 Chronicles 26. But then it started to slip away a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, because of what I'm going to call pride, conceit, and forgetting God, which means he wasn't seeking God. You know what the easiest way to start there, slipping up in your own life? Don't read the Word every day. How many of you go a whole day and fast without food. Anybody done one of those lately? One person. All right. Well, congratulations from the health benefits that you get from doing that. But it's very uncommon for us. However, with the Word of God, how many of you, now you don't need to raise your hand on this one, how many of you in the last 7 days of the prior week, since Labor Day, have not missed a day of reading the Bible? Hopefully everybody, but I have a guess, if I had to, that there's going to be a 5-10 people, maybe 15 in the audience perhaps, maybe those listening, who maybe on Thursday or Friday didn't open the Word of God. Maybe 3 days in a row you didn't open up the Word of God. That's a problem, because if you're not opening up the Word of God every day, you're not seeking the Lord. You're not going to prosper, spiritually most particularly. All right, so look at verse 16 of that chapter and see what happened to Uzziah. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So what did he do here? Paul said it earlier. He got it right. We saw that his heart was lifted up, because when he was strong and he had all this adulation from people, those subject to him in the nation here of Judah. And what happened? He got strong and he got lifted up. And then he thought, well, is it only for the priests to burn incense? After all, I am the king, and even those priests are subject to me. So what's wrong with me burning incense too? That's pride. He didn't think he needed to follow God's law to the very letter. To the very letter. Isn't that the problem in society today? Yeah, situation ethics, situation morality. If God's word says X, then I want to do X. I don't want to do X minus anything. And yet that's what we see today. That's what we see over and over. That society wants to do away with, you're called a Bible thumper or a fundamentalist if you believe in every precept, law, commandment, and statute of the Lord. And that's the tough part. Now, let me go to the book of Hosea and show the same theme popping up again in the scriptures to learn this lesson a little bit more. In the book of Hosea, Hosea is right after Daniel. Chapter 13, in verse 5. I'm going to start in Hosea 13, verse 5. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. See that? I stopped there. What happened? They were filled. They had beautiful food and livestock. Houses probably were plush. But as soon as that happened, they were, what happened here? Their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. See, there's the trap. When things are going well, the house is well, my wife is well, my husband's well, the kids are well, the food store and my ability to bring in all kinds of wonderful, creative new dishes during the week and these great, luscious foods and my body, my health, my exercise, whatever it might be, the money from my job, everything is well. That's the trap you have to be wary of, because their heart was exalted, therefore they forgot God. You see that in verse 6? Therefore they forgot God. Then what did God do? Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way while I observe them. I will meet them as a bear bereaved of her whelps. That's not pleasant language. I mean, I'm frightened enough walking home from the train every day when this huge dog that sometimes is chained up and sometimes isn't in one of the houses, the road I pass, when he barks a loud bark, I jump. And even though I go by him every day, it still shocks me. Now imagine a bear meeting you that's robbed of her young. That's what God says here. You know what's going to happen? If you forget me, that's what I'm going to do to you. That's how I'm going to be to you. No longer is he going to be the one prospering you, making all things well. Now all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be the wrath of God turned on you. How about another one? Another example, same theme. Things are good. You get lifted up. You forget God. then all of a sudden it turns upside down and you have problems. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. Now, in Proverbs, we think that Solomon wrote every proverb, but, you know, 30 and 31 had different authors, unless Agur, the son of Jakeh, is another name for Solomon. I looked at a lot of different things here, and some commentaries think that he's a sage back in Israel's day, and maybe some people think that it was another name for Solomon. I don't know myself, but either way, Agur says in Proverbs 30, verse 7, great verses here, 7 through 9. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Here's the first one. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Here's the why, verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now, you might remember here on the East Coast, just a week or two ago, and it was a big news, of course, in the news, and if you work with a lot of people, I'm sure it was a big story. This lottery was up to, like, I don't know, $300 million or something. Okay, and Jared works at a store where they must have a machine there, so he knows the exact number. And you know what the problem with people winning that? I mean, let's say you won $240 million, aside from the fact that that's not the right thing to do. I won't get into that. But just the fact that you were given $240 million, however which way you slice it. That's what Agur says here. If what happens? Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Isn't that so common? Wealthy people, typically the trap with wealth, doesn't mean if you're wealthy you can't be a child of God, but the trap with wealth is that you don't feel you need God. You think it's all of you. That's the trouble with it. So don't let that ever get carried away in your own life, your own mind. Because that's a great lesson here. That's why Agur said, don't give me poverty, but don't give me riches either. Just give me food that's convenient for me. Just enough. That's all I need. Because I know if I have too much, I'm going to be liable to forget about God. And he was wise enough, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to say these wonderful words. Because what happens? It backfires. It backfires. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18, 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. That's what we see over and over when we have all this good and plenty, that we get haughty, we get proud, we get lifted up and conceited, but destruction happens. That's always the case. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. I'm going to give you a personal example in life. When I was a kid, if you remember in boxing, Muhammad Ali, formerly Cassius Clay, he was the boxing champion. He's probably regarded as maybe the best boxer of all time. And what was he known for, other than being a great boxer? Yeah, Tom got it right. He had quite a mouth on him. He was very conceited, and you know, he was very eloquent. So when he talked about himself, wow, he made himself sound great. His famous line was, I am the greatest of all time. So if you remember that in his day, I mean, over and over, a lot of people liked that or for whatever reason. But, you know, what happened? I mean, he's alive today. You haven't heard from him in 20 years or 15 at least. What's wrong? He's got Parkinson's disease. God struck him. Gosh, I mean, and as far as being in the public eye, he was very proud, very proud. And God struck him. Now, when you have Parkinson's, what happens? I mean, you shake, you can't talk. And it's unfortunate when you see him in public today, you know, he's shaking, he can barely walk. And it's sad. But before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. You see the lesson? That's what happened with Uzziah. He got lifted up. All this great stuff was happening. And then he began to think, you know what, it's because of me. And now I can go and burn incense instead of the priests, where God's law said it's only for them to do. See what happened? Then there was a lot of problems. God turned on him. Let's go back to Hosea, where we were earlier, and go to chapter 13 again. Now, you know what? I made a mistake there. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 26. because we want to pick up Uzziah and what happened with him. We know what happened with the Israelites when they turned. Remember, God said he was going to be like a bear robbed of her whelps? Well, that's what he turned in his wrath on them in Hosea. But here in 2 Chronicles 26, let's pick up what happened to Uzziah when he was strong and his heart was lifted up to his own destruction in verse 16 because he burned incense. Verse 17 says, "And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was he repentant? No. His heart still was lifted up. He was wroth or angry, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. You see what happened? There's the lesson. There's the lesson. When things are well, when I'm strong, I'm filled, everything's going great, the trap is you fall into, it's me, I don't need the Lord, I stop reading the Word every day, and I stop seeking the Lord on a regular basis, I'm not humble before Him, and all of a sudden God turns on you, and with Uzziah he's struck him with leprosy. Because that was in Numbers, in chapter 4 and chapter 16, we see that God gave the law that only the priests were to burn incense. So that was the problem, and God did not take that lightly at all. Now, let me turn this to someone who's spiritually walking with the Lord, fervently, an ambassador of God. Here's the trap that can happen there. I've talked about the physical stuff earlier, but here's a spiritual takeaway. What's the trap I can fall into if I am the, and I'll just use this phrase, not that this exists, but I am the number one missionary and soldier for Jesus Christ in my area, at least I think I am. What's the trap I can fall into if I have that attitude, Robin? Yeah, and in what way, though? Because I'm out there, I pass tracts out, I share the gospel to everybody I meet, I talk about God all the time, my family, people I meet on the street, people I work with. But yes, that's the word I was looking for, Robin. Judgment, judgmental. I begin to judge others. I can look around and say, that so-and-so is not as good as I am. You know, I'm so strong in the Lord. You know, what's wrong with Gary over here? How come he can't keep up with me? In my missionary work or my abilities to be a faithful ambassador or servant for Christ. That's the easy trap to fall into. See, that's why I want us to learn the spiritual takeaway as well as physically what can happen with prosperity. If I'm doing great spiritually and I forget that it's God who gave me the strength to do this, the voice to speak it to my friends, my family, my neighbors, the wherewithal to be a missionary, whatever I'm doing for God, whatever I'm giving to others, my money, whatever it is, I might get lifted up and think, you know what, it's me, and I start judging other people. How come they can't do things that I can do? Or it's too bad you're not like me, type of an attitude. Well, guess what's going to happen to you in that boat? Same thing. God's going to turn on you, just like we read here with Uzziah. I mean, it was a pretty minor infraction. He just burned some incense on an altar. Seemingly minor. See? So I want you to take that away today. Humility. You got to remain humble. We all have to remain humble, no matter how strong or weak we are, if we think we're saved. And be compassionate towards everyone else. Be patient with everyone else in your family and those that you're neighbors with or our own friends here in fellowship. Let's finish this lesson with a spiritual takeaway, another spiritual takeaway. Now, Uzziah particularly had the transgression with burning incense. What's incense a picture of in the Bible? Yeah, who said prayer? You were right, prayer. Let's go to Psalm 141 just to prove that. I just don't want to say that without having proof for it. Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense. See, David's prayer was like incense. So incense was a picture. It typified prayer. Who was supposed to offer the incense? In the book of Numbers, we see the laws. The priests were supposed to. They're the ones who offered the incense. And spiritually, if the incense is prayer, who's spiritually the high priest that needs to offer the prayer? Jesus Christ. And we see that in Hebrews 9. Let's prove that. I'm very eager to prove points as we go bit by bit, because I had a call this past week from someone in Texas who had listened to a message of mine and pointed out something I thought was pretty minor that I had said on a particular Bible study, and he was right on. And I was like, wow, I was so grateful for his call. And it made me go back to the study, and I had to do a little more digging because I said something a couple months ago, and I need to prove that. And I didn't prove it, but I said it existed, but I didn't prove it. And I need to go back and do that. So that's going to be a future lesson. But that's why I'm very, very eager here to prove this point. Hebrews 9, verse 11, I just don't want to say it. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. There he is. So Jesus Christ came as a high priest with good things to come. So we have validity there in saying that Jesus Christ is the high priest. So let's go back to another lesson, a takeaway here, our final one from King Uzziah. Verse 11, Hebrews 9, verse 11, Lester. And what's the takeaway? The high priest here is Jesus Christ, and the burning of incense, Uzziah thought he could do it. But how am I to approach God? The only prayers that are good to God the Father are through Jesus Christ. Now, you may think to yourself, well, I can pray to God. Well, yes, you can pray to God, but in what manner do you pray? In what manner do you pray? Are you coming before God because of your own goodness and your own merit, your own, hey, I'm really faithful, God. I really have to have this, or Lord, you've been so good to me, and I'm continuing to follow you, and I'm faithful to you. Continue to bless me. Wrong attitudes. You got to go to God through one person and one person only, and that's Jesus Christ. Meaning that you recognize that God only looks at Christ and his righteousness, and he sees you through that. You're nothing. You're nobody. You're absolutely nobody. I'm nobody. I'll use a scriptural verse. I'm less than nothing, as the Bible says. That's the humble spirit to have. Because 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that there is only one way to approach God. And you're probably familiar with the verse, and I'll read it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It's a good one to be familiar with. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We need a mediator. It's not okay for me to just go to God myself in my own self, my own spirit being, saying, God, here I am. Here I am. Thank you for saving me. And I go on. I have no acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the only reason God's even listening to me. It has nothing to do with the good stuff I did for the last 3 months, whatever that might be. Nothing at all. So you see the pride that can step into even prayer? I can go to God presumptuously and not realize that I'm just as dastardly as the harlot in Center City, Philadelphia. I'm just as bad, just as bad. There's only one reason why God's looking at me. Not because I passed out 100 tracts yesterday or last week or 2 months ago, but because of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's why God looks at me. If he does it all favorably, that's the only reason he will. So here's our takeaway today. Here's the lesson. We were trying to learn from the mistakes of Uzziah. What were they? Well, he was lifted up things went well. Things were prosperous in his own nation there of Judah. And his heart got lifted up. He thought he could take the incense and burn it. And God turned on him and gave him leprosy. What a picture of wrath and judgment. Things might go well for me physically, my family, the money, all the things I have in my life. Watch out. Because what can happen? So easily, I can get lifted up and think I don't need to seek God anymore. Because as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, he made him to prosper. And spiritually, I might think I'm somebody before God. I've been saved for a lot of years, I think. And therefore, I am pretty confident in me approaching God. Be careful. Be careful. You got to go humbly through Jesus Christ and his righteousness only when you approach God in prayer. It's the only way to go. It's the only reason he's going to listen to you is because of Christ, not because of anything good that you've done for his kingdom in the last 2 months or 2 years or 20 years. So may God give each and every one of us the wisdom to discern the lessons from King Uzziah. We can apply them to our own lives so we can always be ready that we are not caught off guard like he was and the utter wrath that came upon him because of that. It's also going to come upon you and me if we repeat the same mistake. Amen. Anybody have a comment or question they want to offer before we close?